listening and enjoy Radio Free Brooklyn. This is what Brooklyn sounds like.
Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I'm Dr. Lisa. How you doing? I'm so tired. I'm really burnt out. You know, I'm in an art fair now called Spring Break. Please come and see it this weekend. It's at 625 Madison Avenue, and it's a long story, but it was a lot of work. It involves a sex doll as an artist in her studio. Everybody's got their own thing, their own room. There's like 100 rooms, 100 artists and shit like that. That's pretty much what I've been focused on right now, and it's been a little overwhelming. So, and I've been there sort of day and night every single day. And now I'm here with you, so I'm going to put on a different mode. And I'm so glad to be here, because I love doing the show, and I love doing it, and love spending time with you guys. And I love knowing that, like, whatever the fuck is going on, it's not the only thing that matters, because you guys matter. Perspective. Keep your life balanced. This is what I'm saying. That's a Dr. Lisa quote. You can quote me on that. Keep your life balanced. So thanks so much for listening, okay? I mean, we really welcome everyone to Radio Free Brooklyn. We have all sorts of shows, all kinds of programming. Check us out online, radiofreebrooklyn.org. Go to the homepage and then go to donate, okay? We need money. There's no question about it. You know, we need money. We do good work. We need money. We benefit a lot of people. And if you're enjoying Radio Free Brooklyn, please, you know, no amount is too small. No amount is too small as long as it can go through Venmo. I don't know. Do they take like half pennies? I don't think so. But if but in our mind, that would be okay anyway. So go check us out. I also want to make sure that you know about the Peter's Valley Craft Fair. Do you know about it? It sounds really cool. It's the Peter Valley Annual Crafts Fair. It's an annual crafts fair. It's December 24th and 25th, and it's the Sussex County, New Jersey Fairgrounds. Visitors can browse and buy handcrafted pieces from over 100 exhibiting artists. And the ticket sales support the Peters Valley School of Craft, fostering creative thinking through fine craft education programs and event, petersvalley.org. So, which segues so perfectly into our guest today. I have two very handsome gentlemen here. Two very, very handsome gentlemen. I feel very, you know, perplitz. Oh, I don't know. There's a Jewish word for this, and I don't know. I'm too far down the line as a Jew to even remember what the word is. But this is pretty exciting stuff here, because it really. I'm going to start the story out with talking about the gallery that these two gentlemen are here from, and the opening is there's an opening tonight where these two guys are going to be exhibiting their work. It's a two-person show. And the Wild Geese Gallery is really interesting. It's a gallery that opened during the pandemic. It's a multimedia collaborative space created by artist Pierce Green. And it's a gathering place for young artists making new work. And it seems like a really great community. They invite, you know, visiting artists, renowned artists such as Don Portella, and to collaborate, exchange ideas, share experience. And to help grow the next generation of artists. So here's the deal. I'm going to tell you about the opening tonight, and then I'm going to go into a little bit specifics about each of the gentlemen, and then we're going to find out what's going on with them. Okay, folks? They look ready. They look ready. One of them is only 23. He's so cute. I want to give him like a little, I want to give him, you know, like noogies on his head. I'm going to grind my knuckles into your head. Is that okay?
That's fine. That's fine.
You just met me and everything, but I, you know.
He's adorable.
Don must have warned you about me, I'm sure. I hope he did. That's on him if he didn't.
I'm coming into this blind for the most part. He told me a little bit. I'm coming into it a little blind.
Okay, well, I want to get you guys excited about the opening tonight because this place sounds really awesome. And we have two artists here. We have a very accomplished Don Portell, who's shown around the world. I'm going to read you some stuff from his bio, but like big deal guy, right? You know. And then we have somebody who is I have to say, I haven't been around this kind of youthful art enthusiasm in a long, this level of enthusiasm. Don.
He's reinvigorating, isn't he?
He is. It's ridiculous. I've never seen anybody so happy about making art, man.
Oh, he's pumped.
It's crazy. Yeah. So they're both ridiculously talented and all that. But the thing is that this gallery is really interested in like the community and really developing new work and like is what really art galleries and art spaces are supposed to be. And we don't hear a lot about that anymore. And I think the opening is going to be a great big bash, frankly. I think it's going to be fun. So it's tonight. It's 7 to 10. And it's 473 Amsterdam Avenue between 82nd and 83rd Street, and that's Wild Geese Productions. Okay, so now I'm going to give you just a little intro on the artist, and then I'm going to get them to talk, and I'll shut up. But I got to get through. I got to give you the background. You don't want to. I got to give you the context, or none of this is going to make any sense. I know. I'm going on.
No, you're doing great.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so first I'm going to tell you a little about Don, because I know Don. I've known Don longer than his wife has known Don. And my husband and I met Don because we went to Hunter. I don't know if you know Hunter College. It's an amazing place for to get a master's degree in art, which Don did. And his work just, like, hit us in the face. I mean, it was hilarious. It was smart. It was like nothing. It's like nothing. It's completely original on every level. And I mean, I'm just going to, Don at that point was doing stuff with Melted Crayons, but like the thing that I think he's most well known for is making figures, scenarios, animals, huge pieces, small pieces too, out of pipe cleaners. And no one has been able to do this. I've never seen anything like it before, and I've never seen anything like it since. And I'm going to say that the essence of what Don is able to do is to pack in the spiritual, I'm not going to say like just the vibe of the person or the thing in some mystical way into the pipe cleaners. I mean, besides the thing being fabulous to look at and colorful and fun and give you a good feeling, it's like, right, you know, like I post this self-portrait that Don did of Don. And the essence of Don is in that piece. I mean, it's crazy. Am I right, Don? You know what I'm saying.
Geppetto.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And Don's...
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio. Don has a lot of credits, okay? His art, like I said, all over Europe, United States, reviewed in New York Times, New York Arts, Fiber Arts, Village Voice, San Francisco. You know, all that shit. Lots of prizes, Brooklyn Arts Council. He spent like a year at the Hermes Maison in Shanghai, China. So that was like a year or something.
It was the Swatch Art Peace Hotel. I did a residency there in Shanghai. And then after that, my gallery in Paris offered me this. They had met Hermes through an art fair in Paris. And they'd shown my work 2 years in a row. First the paintings, and then the next year the sculptures. And the Hermes people had walked through the fair, and both times they liked the work. And second time they mentioned it, they were like, oh, who's this artist? Thinking it was someone different. And the gallery mentioned that it was me again. And they said, oh, well, we would love for him to do a window display in Shanghai. So it's kind of a coincidental thing. But I think my gallery was like, hey, if we had to pick, we'd like Shanghai. And it was absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
The people there are incredible. Culture's fabulous. Mm-hmm. Food's amazing. But there's a really great reception for the work there.
And you did the Christmas windows in New York.
Yeah, and then 2 years later, they offered me the windows on Madison Avenue. And
crazy.
Which was amazing, too. And but they also asked me if I would like to do the store across the street, too. So I got both the men's and the women's store. And it was 2018 holiday opening. And they had a choral group there. And
I was at the opening. It was insane. It was like you're in this like major fancy store that I would never even be comfortable going in. And then there are people like wandering around with like champagne and little, I don't know, whatever things.
Penguin cookies. Remember those little penguin cookies?
I don't know. The whole thing is like, wow, what am I doing in here? When are they going to kick me out? How do I know somebody that's doing... Don, I know somebody that's doing the windows here. That's all I could think about, Don. But I was very... I mean, it, you know, your work, we're you know, Phil and I are just huge fans. I mean, you know that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and we have your work, you know, all over our... We have like three pieces that I can picture right now in our home, so... Okay, and then we have a beginner. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He hasn't gotten anything in check. So, it's Don Porcella, and it's Don Porcella, P-O-R-C-E-L-L-A. And it's DonPorcella.com. Is that your website? Yeah. And you can Google him. He's got lots of stuff. And I post it on my Facebook page. So, okay, so that's Don. And... So the artist that Don is showing with, this young man here, is Christian Williams. He has, I'm going to ask him first in a second why he has this art name, artist name. I guess all the kids do, right? Kiffy the Pit, that's his artist name. And he works primarily in digital art, pen and ink. And he's currently adding painting to his arsenal. And his art captures like free nature of childhood, childish creativity, and lawless smash up of the first thing that comes to his mind. I think Don and him have some overlap here in this sort of like childlike child stuff, child aesthetic, but also it's not cute.
We're hitting you at the ground floor.
What?
We're hitting you at the ground floor.
What is
you know,
that?
It's connective to everybody, the childlike.
Yeah, the childlike, but it's twisted childlike. It's not. It's not like.
It's like what is it? What is it? It's like the I don't know, like the growth of a child. It's like if a kid, literally like a 6 or 7 year old, could like grow up and still just within a span of seconds. I feel like that's kind of how we are, just manifested within like you know 20+ years.
The intelligent child.
Yeah, the intelligent child.
So, I was chatting with Christian before he got here, Don, and I was like really floored by how like this whole thing came together because Christian was invited to from Buffalo, just out, kind of felt like it was a little out of the blue.
Oh, really, out of the blue.
You got invited for a residency here in fucking New York. Can you imagine? Yeah. You're 23 years old. You're living in buttfuck Buffalo, and all of a sudden, you're in the middle. You have an art residency in the middle of Manhattan, and you're crashing with some cool dude out in Bushwick
on a futon, literally in Buffalo beforehand. Like before I had this opportunity, I was literally in a dark room. I did not leave my room. I was on my computer all day, playing games and doing art. And then, you know, I go down to New York for a bit. And then next thing you know, I'm getting asked to do a show. And I'm like, what?
It's crazy. That never happens to Don. Have you ever heard of that happening to an artist before?
Well, I think it speaks to the gallery, sort of the mentality of the people running the gallery.
Yeah.
And they love that aspect of, community, like you said, but also Christian, displays an incredible passion for what he's doing.
Incredible.
And he downplays it by saying he was doing video games and working on his art. But the reality is that he was creating his whole language, his whole visual language.
Yeah.
And all that is pouring out of him with this incredible opportunity to make these amazing paintings. And, you know, people coming by the space, they're just walking by on the street and they can't help but stop. And they're just mesmerized by what he's doing. So I think, you know, it's like you see something like that and you really want to help him out and promote what he's doing.
Inspiring. It's inspiring. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm getting his positive vibes right here. It's making me feel better about the art that I have going on right now. That I'm like, because I have to go to the art fair after this and sit there you know, and I'm like, oh man, I don't know if anybody likes this work. I don't know. I'm no good. Is it good? Is it good? Is not good? Oh, it's good. It's good. Don't shut up. And like we got William Christian here going, woo!
I am curious really quick. As y'all like, you know, y'all got more experience than I do in the art game. Do you think that like as y'all like have progressed in your art career, like because the way I see art now is kind of like one of those things where it's like, I don't know. I kind of enjoy my art and I always see like the growth in it. So it's like, I don't really ever really care too much about what other people think. Obviously we need other people to support our, you know, our livelihood, but it's always one of those things where it's like, you know, like this is me, like realistically at the end of the day, like this is the curation of me since birth, you know, this is what I am. And like my art is a direct, what is it? Representation of what's going on up there.
I think that, I also wanted to point out, by the way, that you're self-taught, right?
Yes.
You wouldn't know that from looking at the work because it's very sophisticated. But
he did go to school, but
yeah. For a semester, then I dropped out.
No, but you didn't like study years of art and all that crap.
Yeah.
No figure drawing classes or that crap. Okay. So, is Christian going to get beaten down like we are? You don't think so?
No, I think he's hitting it in the right way. I think he's authentic. You know, you just heard
it
right there.
Yeah, that's true.
And
he is authentic. You
meet artists who are sort of coming up and you're thinking, you know, they're trying to define kind of their language. And it's always like they would say something and you say, oh, well, that doesn't really make sense. But with Christian, it's like, it's him. It's just, you know, it's just coming out of him. And it's a really wild, creative sort of world that he's creating. So
right, and he's also like kind of made up what he's made it all up on his own, whereas like he hasn't done it in like a career goal way.
Yeah, well, my mom was an artist and she was self-taught. I mean she went to nursing school, but she met a neighbor who taught her how to paint, and then from there she just totally went off on this crazy passionate journey. And I feel like Christian's, you know, he reminds me a lot of my mom in that way, that you know, they're just drawn to this thing, and then they, people are giving them feedback, and then they just keep, all that energy is just coming right back out in the work. So
yeah, I definitely get that feeling. So I want to know how you guys got put together. How'd you guys, I'm going to say it's a mentor mentee with two very major talents. Okay, just the life stages. So how did you guys get, is that right, Don?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of dodged the whole mentor-mentee thing because I'm learning just as much from him as I think maybe hopefully
that's
he's
part
learning
of being a mentor,
me.
Right?
Yeah, but, and I'm open to that too. But right. Like we both have he's been making more, I think, maybe a few more NFTs than me, but I've been working with an art collective in the San Francisco Bay Area. Friends of mine were making music together and we made some
NFTs.
Right,
Don's a musician too, a major, yeah.
Making NFTs too, so we're going to be showing NFTs. So there's kind of a cool way in which our work kind of, you know, like we share some
right.
common interests and stuff.
Because NFTs, everybody's at the same level.
But
it's brand new.
But the overall story is that I met this guy, Chris Curtis, back at UC San Diego when I was first going to school there, back in my early 20s. And he was a musician. And we were at the dorms at UCSD. And we'd go into the piano practice rooms and just, he would play piano all the time. It's where I really learned about music and got my passion for music. And then out of that grew my art. But Chris is the cousin of the gallery owner, gallery director.
Oh, so a friend of yours.
Yeah. So Chris was like, hey, you know, be cool. She's starting this gallery. Be cool if you could work with her somehow. And we've kind of had some stops and starts because of COVID. But we all agreed that this would be a really great opportunity to kind of, I guess, relaunch the whole Wild Geese Gallery and have an official first show. And so that's why I think it's going to be a real blowout show.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of people who've come into contact with the gallery. They've done a lot of interesting program over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's all kind of culminating in this. Her son is an artist, and for a long time he was painting in there and selling work out of there too. So he brought a lot of people in, and that's where I think the kind of spirit of the community came into it, because they really loved just the people that walked in. And
so did they put you guys together then?
Well, originally it was going to be Christian, Pierce, and I, and then Pierce just sort of bowed out graciously, thought it would be better to just have the two-person show between Christian and I, and then that's when they kind of developed this idea of the mentor-mentee relationship.
Yeah.
So how did you guys work together? Like, how did the show come together? What was the process?
Ooh, what do you mean, how did it come together?
Okay, so...
It's a lot of Zoom meetings. a lot of Zoom meetings. Mm. And when I came in June, which originally we were supposed to have the show in June, but the director got sick. Christian actually was sick too with COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
And we didn't actually get to physically meet, but we've been Zooming pretty much every week for the last four or five months.
But I mean, isn't like you've been, are you, like, what, are you coordinating on the sizes, the cons? Are you coordinating on anything or you're just like doing your own bodies of work?
These are just two brains going crazy and we just coming together, you know?
So when you work together, your meetings together are just more like, like kind of pushing each other on. Is that what I'm talking? Is that what I'm getting?
Not necessarily. I think he's been cranking away on paintings.
Yeah.
And, you know, we check in sort of with each other because we have meetings with the gallery and part of like, you know, forming this foundation for what they're doing now.
Oh, I see.
So it hasn't been so much collaborative in like,
it's not collaborative about the work.
No.
Okay.
But our work blends very nicely, you know, goes very well together.
It's well suited together, obviously, to me.
And my work was kind of curated by Pierce to kind of share kind of a language with what Christian was doing. So I have a lot of my sculptural characters that are really creative and deal with like evolution and stuff like that.
Right. So you have most of your work. I mean, so, but like, Christian, you were really developing the work during this time, is
this whole time
it?
Is
and then on maybe, his own. Yeah,
and then maybe Don would look at some of it.
Not really.
No,
like literally, like
I'd say, hey, I like that.
Yeah. It was honestly, it was a lot of like just going, and then like because realistically, like I didn't even know that like we were going to be in a show together until it was a little bit later. Like because I was told that the show was going to be happening in April, and I thought it was a solo show at first. Then it was supposed to be me and Pierce, and then we got Don involved and we mixed Don in, and that was like, what, probably like sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So realistically, it was just cranking out paintings that I thought looked cool. And it's been that whole process even then. And then, you know,
he's getting a lot of feedback from people that walk by and people that walk in. And
I was painting in the window and, you know,
it's really cool. Yeah. That is so cool. So is the gallery open? People come in and talk to you and stuff.
Yeah. Although sometimes I try to, artist zone. You know, I try to, because I don't know. I get nervous around talking to people sometimes, so I'm painting you know, yeah.
It doesn't seem like it, right? Is that what you mean?
He's just got it all. He's very personable and
very personal.
Has time for people, which is cool.
Very well spoken. And then
if he's talking long with people, he ends up spending a lot more time at night. Finishing the paintings and stuff.
Oh,
so he's very dedicated.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's even.
I've slept in a gallery for 5 days. That is my secret here.
That guy. Yes. You're on it.
But that's
you're
dedication, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Well, it's also like what a relationship with the work you have.
True.
You know what I mean? Because that's really what it's about. It's all about the relationship, and you must be getting so much out of the work.
Yeah. Honestly, it's teaching me a lot, and like I don't know. It's really helped me understand the process of making art and like that enjoyment of it. And like, I've learned a lot on like why I even enjoy doing it in the first place, especially with a physical piece that's like massive. Like you're there and you're spending hours on it and getting paint on your hands and everywhere. And, you know, there's really that one-on-one process. I feel like a proud father.
I always say that your art is your children. So what do you feel like? Can you verbalize what you're getting out of it? What the joy? There's joy. What kind of is it? Is it a joy that you can articulate? Is there an
intellectual?
Okay, go ahead.
It's so the joy I get from like making art is kind of like how can I word this properly? It is when you create, right, and you're sitting there in the process and you're making it. I don't know. It's kind of weird because like. Hold on.
Right.
Whoa.
I like this.
Whoa. Okay.
I like this. We made it. I like this. Are you squirming? I hope so.
Yeah. Oh, I am.
Next level. He's going next level.
I'm cooking. Come on, bring it on.
He's going next level.
So like making art is kind of like when you're in that process, the joy that comes out of it is kind of like, I don't know, you there and it's, I don't know, it's really weird. And so there was two times, right? Sorry, it relates to it, but it's kind of off topic a little bit.
All right.
When I was working on the ice cream painting, there's a painting called Napkins Not Included. Okay. And when I was working on it, I zoned in, right? I had this crazy zone where like 6 hours had passed.
Yeah.
And literally all I had was music in my like headphones.
Yeah.
And it just would boom, like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And it was one of these things that I kind of just, I don't know, I'm realizing from art, it's one of those things where you get this thought. When you first come up with a sketch or an idea, you get this thought and you place it. And it's kind of like holding a thought or remembering a dream and holding it in place. And then being able to go and create the world of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then every thought that you've had creating that piece comes right back. So every time you look at that piece, like, I remember I was thinking of this, thinking of that, thinking of this. And then it comes back in. So it's kind of like, almost like leaving a staple in history.
And Don's nodding his head because he's like, yeah, exactly.
He's got that Geppetto quality, you know, he's imbuing that thing with all that personality and effort because of his dedication and devotion to the work itself.
So yeah.
It's almost a meditation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird. It's weird because, I mean, you listeners, most of you are creative, I bet. And so you know what we're talking about. You know, you get in the zone and then you're like, wow, I did that. You wake up from it and you're like, you've got some kind of fucking masterpiece that you didn't know how got there. That's what happens, right, man? Okay, why and how we got named Kiffy the Cat.
Oh.
Kiffy the Pit. I like Kiffy the Cat, though.
Kiffy the Pit.
Do you know the answer to this, Don? You don't have to. You can't. I just want to know if you know the answer to this.
What, Kiffy the Pit?
Yeah. Do you know where it came from? You don't have to say that.
I don't want to steal his thunder.
Okay. Put the microphone closer to your mouth.
I don't want to steal his thunder.
You want me to move it?
No.
You're good? Okay, good. It. Okay, so what happened?
All right, the story of Kiffy the Pit and where that came from. There's a video game I play called NBA 2K22. It's a basketball game, and I would play with my friends. And it was a creative process where I created this character every year in different games. It'd be like the same game, but you make a My Career character. And I kept making this character, and I named him Kiffy, and I gave him this really extensive lore. And I kind of related to that. So I was like, you know what? This guy is like me. It's like a depiction of a cartoon me. Really? I was like, you know what? This is me. Like, I'm making this character, although he was like a 6'10" center, you know, in the NBA. But I'm like,
where is he?
I'm like, I feel like that on the inside. I feel like a 6'10" athlete, but you know, I'm not. But it was kind of like creating it. And then you look back at it and it's like, I think that's me. I think that's me. So,
Wow, that's
and ever
awesome.
Since it kind of just stuck, I felt like that name was kind of like, it's a part of me, you know?
Mm-hmm. What other character, is there any quality in particular that you can tell us besides that that's deeper than the physical being?
Ooh, break that one down for me a little bit. What you mean?
Like what kind of guy is he? What kind of guy? Or is it really, maybe I don't understand this shit. You know what? It's probably just a fucking cartoon character. So shut up.
No, I mean, Kiffy's not really a character. It's more so me, but I guess it's more so like the...
Is it an idealized version of you?
Yeah. The part that you want to be, the part you want to show people.
Positive.
But, you know, the Christian Williams is always scared and shy and nervous. But then the Kiffy's like, yo, I'm right here. And it's like, okay. Yeah,
oh,
so, you know,
it.
It's like a,
it.
Like a...
Whoop. So it's kind of like a healthy way to make a defense, except it's like outside. That's great. I like that.
That's Dr. Lisa talking.
You made it. No, see, that's great. It's
some much, analysis.
Much healthier, right?
Yeah.
Much healthier because you know what you're missing. You made a thing that is that, and then you can just put that mask on and be that thing.
I think it's more so kind of like a role model, though. Like a self, and it's like, that's where I need to be. That's where I want to get myself to. So it's like, you know, when I reach that, like, you know, that level, it's like, boom.
Wow. Yeah. A little humility in there. Can't lose.
No, he's great.
So Don, I want to know, like, and we know this is true. You've learned stuff from working with Christian.
Yeah.
And so, like, how's he affected you or your work? Because you're a seasoned professional, and it's always so interesting to, like, have somebody fresh come in that doesn't have a lot of preconceived notions.
Well, I think you kind of get jaded. I think you kind of get jaded if you go through the whole art school thing and the whole, like, what the art means and what it's about and where you want the work to be. And, you know, it's like easy to focus on that. Right. But I've pretty much been able my whole life to kind of find that focus that Christian is talking about. But meeting him was really great because it kind of reinvigorated me in that way. You know, it's like you see somebody who's genuinely appreciative of these opportunities that he's getting.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds you to be appreciative too, you know?
Right.
But I love the fact that we can help each other. You know, we used to live in a world, and I talk about this often lately with friends of mine, that when you first come up, it's always about you, you know, establishing your language and your voice and your career. And the more I make art, the more I want it to be about us.
Right. You're right about that.
The collaborative aspect of it.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of selfish in a way if you think about it, because when you collaborate with somebody, then they're feeling the love and the joy, and then they're going to promote it too. So you actually get more play if you collaborate in some ways.
It's funny because the art fair that I'm talking about right now that I have a booth in, it's collaborative as well, with a painter.
Yeah.
And there's something really, and I'm sure you guys are feeling this, you know, creating on your, putting all your work out there on your own is very scary. And when you have a partner on some level, it just, it's so much safer. It's like, I mean, like you're in a band.
It's like being in a band. Yeah. And I see this a lot I think about that a lot in terms of the music and how it might inspire the work, the artwork, and then vice versa too. I learn a lot from the music stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one thing you can learn.
Part of your life.
And the whole idea of like having a band name and, you know, like Kiffy having a persona. It's like, these are in some ways good, healthy strategies.
Totally.
If you're thinking about, you know, preserving, to me, it's always about sustainability. Like, I didn't get into this thing to give up. And I remember reading all those art form magazines in grad school where they're 20 years old. You know, Somebody donates all these old art forms. And you look through them and you just see all these ads of people you don't know.
Right.
It teaches you that it's really about longevity, right?
Well, it's really about, it's more about like what the journey is yours.
Yeah.
And you're responsible for it and you may get something back. And you may not.
And you fall in love with the process and you don't worry about all the other
stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. It's really all about the process. And I see Christian going, It's all about the process.
Yeah. You got to trust it.
Are you always this happy, Christian? Are you really always this happy? Is it drugs?
No.
I'm kidding.
Honestly, kind of.
Were you this happy and buff? What?
It's the opposite of drugs.
I know. Were you this happy when you were in Buffalo, or are you just this happy because you're not in Buffalo?
Oh, it's a mixture of both. I'm happy in Buffalo, too.
You're just like a really happy guy.
Yeah, I try to stay optimistic. I mean, the way we was like, you know, like taught and raised, like, you know, like when you have to have happiness, you got to be happy with everything around you. Because honestly, like, I'm grateful. I'm incredibly blessed. I have nothing to complain about. You know what I mean? Like, I got great friends, great support, a great team. I'm here in New York City
making a great suit.
My grandfather's.
Yeah.
You know?
Like the most awesome color of it's. I'm going to call it eggplant. But
eggplant.
Right.
Yeah. It's. I'm blessed. You know, like realistically, whenever you want to complain, there's so much to just be like, you know what? Like, at least I have this. At least I have my health. At least I have this, that. You know, so there's always something to smile about. You know, you got to be happy about what you got.
Wow.
The old silver lining.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow.
He needs his own podcast.
No, he's like he's the most positive person.
I know.
It's crazy.
No, I know.
I feel like poking, but it's like it is very real. And
you end up rooting for him. Is what happens.
Yeah. Totally. Because it's very direct. You know what I mean? Like,
it's very honest.
Very honest, very direct. Sincere. You love making your art. You're just going to make your art.
Yeah, and just
leave me alone. I'm just going to make my art. Everything's good.
It's like that little kid, you know, like when they're watching cartoons and you're drawing, and then it's like, oh, like there's dinner in there. And it's like, okay, I'll come eat once I'm finished doing this. But you kind of just eat in that zone. You're just kind of chilling and you're enjoying everything. It's like, I got dinner. I'll go grab some dinner. You know, once I'm finished drawing this.
How do you feel about showing your work tonight? How do you feel about
it? Oh, I'm excited. These are my babies. This is what you're coming to see, the babies. Okay.
Have you had a bunch of reaction before tonight, since you've been in the gallery on the street and stuff like that? Do you have an idea of what people think about your work?
Yeah. I'll hand out a lot of stickers, and even in Buffalo, I did like a lot of commissions and stuff like that, like, for people's brands and logos and stuff. But everybody was always like, oh my gosh, you got this Adult Swim style. Like, it's really cool. Adult Swim is like a cartoon channel.
Cartoon Network.
Yeah, yeah. I think we know that.
Oh, okay.
I know that. I think, I'm the oldest one in this whole podcast radio station. Radio Free Brooklyn, the greatest station in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Woo!
But I'm the oldest one. I'm the oldest person doing it and the oldest listener. I'm older than everyone listening to it now, I promise you. We do have a host, a radio show host here who's older than me though. There is one. Yes, I know what you're talking about. What you're talking about, Adult Swim.
Yeah, so a lot of people are just like, wow, you got that style. Like, it's really cool, and like the cartoons and stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool. Thank you.
Don, I'm a little worried about Christian being able to earn a living.
I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, because I talked to him about like trying to get to do some like, you know, more commercial work to make money mm-hmm. so he could live in New York mm-hmm. and doesn't have to spend the rest of his life in Buffalo and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. What do you think?
Well, he's coming out of a commercial setting, so he's trying to push into the fine art. So he needs to just do that, and everything will be good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But he's going to be doing it at home.
Not necessarily. I think tonight's going to change his life even more.
Really? Yeah. I love that.
He's got this collector's group from the Hamptons coming out.
Are you fucking kidding
me? No, dude. They came by the gallery, and fell in love with his work, and they're inviting all their friends. And one of them, like, the director at the Parrish Museum or something.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they're legit art people.
Wow.
So, yeah.
He's got some. So we should be buying his work now before the opening.
Yes.
I got
Don,
I want to hear a story about, like, the when you first started showing your work, when you were a young man.
Oh, my God. I have a great story. Okay, you know, I went out to the Scope Art Fair out in the Hamptons.
Right.
Scope Hamptons.
Right.
And maybe this is even where we met.
06?
Yeah.
Yeah, 06. Where I did, my kid could have done that.
Yeah.
And you were there?
Yeah.
I always think of you in,
you know, because I lived out there.
Oh,
I dated
okay.
this girl, Carly Hafner. From mm-hmm. I met her in art school at California.
No ginger.
Yeah, that's okay. California College of Arts and Crafts. We met there, and uh-huh. she was from the Hamptons, lived out there. She actually worked for David Sally as his assistant. She's a good artist, and her brother's an artist, too. Anyway, but I lived out there off and on for 8 years before I went to grad school at Hunter College. But when the fair came out, we were like, oh, man, this is great. And so we went to the fair, but I had brought some of my work. I brought a head that I had made out of pipe cleaners, uh-huh. a severed head. Uh-huh. And I brought it in a bag.
Uh-huh. Like a bloody severed head.
Yeah, but it was all made out of pipe cleaners.
Made out of pipe cleaners, but like, this is what I'm saying, like funny, childlike, and dark. Okay, that's what I wanted you guys to know.
Yeah, so I was carrying it around in a bag, and it was kind of too big for the bag, and so it kind of poked out, and I would just walk into the booths and look at the art, and after a little while, the people would ask me about the bag, and so I would tell them. And I met that guy, Don, from Pelican Project.
Oh, yeah.
And he showed my, right there on the spot. He's like, I had something sell, and I need something right here. And so he took the head out of the bag.
Yeah, no.
And showed my work at the Scope Fair.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And that's pretty much started it.
Wow. I remember that. I remember the booth. Weren't you in the booth with the guy with the cheese?
Yeah. And they had you did that collector. The kid was a collector.
Kid could have done that. Yeah. Just so you guys know, it's on. I'll put it up. It's a fun video where all improv. Had a filmmaker do it with, you know, film me. And I went around this art fair and I started pointing out all the work that people would say my kid could have done that. And then there were actually children whose parents were buying
credit cards.
Gave them credit cards, and they were buying all this work.
They were collectors at like 12 years old,
or less. And I wound up having this whole conversation with the kids about what they liked, and they all liked the cheese. And the cheese was this really perfectly made piece. What was it? Swiss cheese?
Yeah, it was a stack of Swiss cheese with a little figure.
And that's the booth that Don was in. And it was a very, very popular booth at the fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you got reactions to your head right away?
Yeah, right away.
And how was that? Like, what do you remember about it?
Well, I mean, I think it's life affirming. It's, you know, I'm on the right path kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's all I ever wanted.
Uh-huh.
You know, I watched my mom growing up make art, and I was like, I can do this, you know, I feel like this is what I'm passionate about, but I was talked out of it.
You were? I didn't know that. My mom
was a fiber and textile artist.
Yeah.
And she was...
She sounded like major...
Well, the Smithsonian bought the first quilt she ever made. And
yeah.
She was part of that contemporary landscape with Faith Ringgold.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Like, she's one of the top three contemporary quilters, I think, you know, started with. And came out of the wearable art movement of the 60s and 70s. And the Museum of Arts and Design has her work, LACMA.
Yeah. And you've had a residency at the Museum of Art and Design yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
So I always felt like I could do it, but they were always, my mom didn't necessarily make a great living at it because she ended up showing it. This is back before quilts were really considered art. And she actually started a nonprofit arts organization called SAQUA, Studio Art Quilt Associates, to take the quilt off the bed and put it on the wall. That was her whole idea because she got in Time magazine. Her piece was featured in Time magazine, but it was at the very end of the magazine. She said, I want quilts to be on the cover of the magazine.
Oh, wow. That's
and so cool. She started this arts organization. So.
Oh, that's so cool.
But yeah, so I always felt like I could do it. But then people were sort of like, oh, you need a backup plan. So I got a degree in psychology and a minor in art history. And I was making art. And my parents were like, you need to get out and get a job. You know, do all those things that you...
That I'm telling a Christian to do.
Yeah. And at some point, I was just completely unhappy doing what other people wanted me to do. And I was doing it, and I was doing it at a high level, but I was completely unhappy inside, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And my best friend died, and I kept telling him how I was going to go back to art school. And when he died, his family asked me to make this painting for him.
Oh, wow.
That they were going to put in his casket.
Oh, wow.
And I realized at that moment how important art was.
Oh, wow.
That it was just as valuable as, you know, saving someone's life, right?
Wow.
So I committed my life to going to art school.
Wow.
And I went to CCAC and then I went on to Hunter.
And you, but you know, that was something that you fortunately were able to access. You know what I mean? Like it isn't like your life changed through the circumstances really.
No, I'm very fortunate.
Really you.
I'm fortunate that I was able to see my mom, you know, like that always gave me great confidence knowing that she had done it. I felt like, oh, I just have to trust the fact that someone with my DNA did it.
Well, you know, that's what's so fascinating because looking at William, Christian over here, Christian William, and I think about this too because I'm more like you, Don. Like my father was an architect. We lived in Manhattan until I was eight. We went to all the museums and, you know, art was like, I was sent to art school, art, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've come to it on your own.
Yeah.
And that is also very, it was so in a way, I'm going to say it's easier for you in a certain way. I'm not going to say in every way, but in a certain way, I think that there was no expectation. Like Don had an expectation. My father used to say, you know, because I made weird art and he'd say, you call that art? They had like judgment, like their judgment on my art was not a good thing for me. But you're, I think one of the reasons you're so positive is that it's really, you're your own guide there.
Yeah. It was always just like it wasn't even a path. It was just something that just was. You know,
right.
I was just making, I remember even in high school, I had a teacher named Mr. McTighe. He was my pig teacher. And he was like, you can draw in my class because you focus better when you draw. And it was always stuff like that where I could just do it. But I was never focused. I wasn't like, I want to be an artist when I get older.
Right.
It was just, people would just let me do it. I'd be like, you got pen and paper I can use? And they would bring out a stack of copy paper. And
right.
I'd go crazy. Right. And I'd grab all the pens and just draw.
And you didn't have anybody like Don, like you. Like I had, you know, like I mean, I knew I had to be a graphic designer. No artist for me, you know.
Yeah.
And you had that too in your family. I think that another reason why William's so happy is because he comes from a large family of seven kids.
Ooh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I think I always have this feeling, my brother and I talk about this, people from large families are more well-adjusted. Do you think that's true?
You can't make blanket statements, but...
I can.
For the most part.
I'm big on general.
I'm
a judgy person.
You're forced to get along because you have to share toys and you have to share, you know, whatever. You're part of a community. You're part of a team. I think it's interesting you used that word earlier because, maybe a large family is more like a team.
I think having a large family kind of built the understanding of dynamics and knowing kind of like how social dynamics work and figuring out like, because me, I've always found myself as like, I was never like, the idea to put myself as like a king or something, like there was always like a structure to each. I always was like, I want to be the councilman. I want to be like, I don't think that's a good idea, you know, but I never want to be the one to call it. So that's where my other older brother came in. He was the trailblazer. He was going through all of the, you know, the trials and tribulations. So that was easier for us to do it, the younger ones. But it was always like, he was the big brother. I was fine being the middle brother. I would just watch him be like, yo, what is he doing? Like, how is he working around it?
Yeah.
And I always liked that aspect. But at a young age, I understood, like, dynamics. Like, I don't want to be in a position where I have to, like, do that. You know, I don't want to.
You don't want to be in the front line. Mm-mm. You don't want to be in the front line. But also, I think when you have a lot of brothers and sisters, you can really, I don't know, you have more people to count on, and you're less likely to be, you know, like, I mean, like, my brother and I, like, you know, if he didn't go swimming, then I couldn't go swimming when we were with our parents, you know, went on vacation. And it's nice to, like, oh, I'm in a bad mood. He's getting on my nerves. And then you hang out with a different sibling, right?
Yeah. There's always somebody there to, it's like having a permanent friend. You know, me and my older brother grew up practically like twins, even though there's a 4-year difference. Like, we grew up, you know, when we was in church, we had similar suits. You know, like we couldn't go anywhere without the other one going. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a point when I was younger, on my birthday, I'd be like, I don't want pepperoni pizza. I want what he's having. So I would be like, Jordan, what do you want to eat? And my mom kind of broke me out and was like, you need to start thinking for yourself. And I was like, okay. But like, it was weird. Like, there definitely is that, like, you know, there's always like a teammate. There's a partner there for you to, like, you know, have your back. Siblings.
But you feel safer. I think you feel safer and less reliant on your parents. So it's sort of like you're more independent on a certain level.
Yeah. And you see your siblings go through stuff. So you see them as real people. And it's easy to look at them and be like, okay, they're going through something, but they're getting through it. How do I do that?
And there's less pressure, I think, on one of the kids. Like, you know, like for you to be an artist, like you probably have less pressure on the outcome of what happens. Like, your parents care. They don't want you bugging them, but like, they're not like, if it doesn't happen for him, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Don, we haven't seen, I want to catch up. How is your life right now? Like, what's going on right now?
Oh, Don, things are good.
Don is married to this, just incredible woman, Ginger Porcella, who is a curator and has just, she's a powerhouse. She has worked at all these different places they've moved a lot is what I'm trying to say. And every time she goes someplace, she completely takes it over, transform it, improves it, gets it pressed, and then moves on pretty much, I think. But she's doing
the good work because these places are, you know, need to be fixed in some ways.
But you guys have moved a lot because of that.
Well, yeah, we met in New York, and then she got a job offer in San Diego to run a contemporary art museum there. And 3 years later, we moved to Tucson. She was invited to come completely renovate the Tucson Museum of Contemporary Art in Tucson. And then 2 years later, she was hired by Franconia Sculpture Park to run a 50-acre sculpture park. Mm-hmm. So she loves that idea of fixing a place up, you know, and really making it more inclusive than it was before. Yeah. And her thing is really about diversity, and especially at the sculpture park, they do a land acknowledgement. She's working with a lot of indigenous artists and communities there.
Love that.
Which is fantastic. And she started this 4-state land art biennial called Foreground.
Oh, wow. That's so amazing.
This was the first year. Fabulous. So it's across 4 different states, and there's all these sites, and some of them are even, you know, indigenous sacred sites.
Oh, wow.
Working directly with native artists as well as, you know, artists from all over. But yeah, it's really incredible.
That sounds so fascinating. So are you, I mean, I want to go visit all those sites.
Well, come.
I should actually. But do you get involved in flyover country.
I mean, it's really interesting because it's considered flyover country, but Midwest. But there's so much incredible land there. Yeah. And Minnesota is really rich. Like during the summertime, there's people that vacation out there from California. It's like the most rich. It's like a deciduous forest, so rainforest. Mm-hmm. So there's water a lot, and it's just really green there.
So what do you guys do? Are you outside a lot and stuff like that? Do you do a lot of outdoor stuff? Or
yeah, we do. We have 2 dogs, and we take them out for walks. And every weekend we can go on a different walk. There's all these wonderful lakes there, and lots of trails, and it's completely canopied with all this incredible lush greenery. I mean, it's the most magical place.
Wow.
And I love nature, so it's really informing my work. I'm doing a project at a restaurant in Minneapolis called Arts and Rec Uptown, and they've asked me to do the front of the restaurant. So I'm painting the walls and putting my sculpture in there, making a huge installation that people can eat and drink in.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I have
amazing.
A show up at the M, which is the Minnesota Museum of American Art in St. Paul. And it just recently got vandalized and my work didn't get destroyed, but they singled out my piece, which only brought more attention to the work.
You mean like they ruined everybody's work but yours?
No, his work,
don't touch.
Well, luckily it's a double pane glass, so they broke just one of the panes. But anyway, they brought a lot of attention to the show, which was kind of a fortunate thing about the destruction. But my gallery in Tucson, Yoon-ji Gallery and Atelier, is doing a show here in September, and I'm making work for them.
Oh, great. Where? Tell us about it.
I made some things actually. Bottega Veneta, this Italian design firm, they asked me to do something for their online magazine.
Oh, cool.
And so I made some small prototypes that were basically based on their new line. Uh-huh. And so I'm sending those things out to the gallery.
Very, very expensive, fancy leather goods.
I think when you get asked by Hermes to do the Madison Avenue windows, you get kind of branded as a luxury, even though you're using pipe cleaners.
And I'm getting a CD handed to me because Don is also very, very involved in music. I think of you as an artist, but music's a big part of your life, no?
Yeah. And
is it really 50-50 to you?
No, I think it's 80-20.
Music's 20.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a lot, though.
But the thing during the pandemic that was so great is that I could really lean on music and I could connect to my friends, and we did Zoom meetings and we were writing music. We also formed this art collective, EDF Syndicate.
Mm.
And it was really great because, you know, you couldn't really be with people, but we could over Zoom, and we were creating together, and out of it came this incredible project that we're working on. But we worked with an artist in Korea who sung on the song. It's an incredible opportunity to be collaborative throughout the world. So we're working with artists from all over the world. Someone might do a little guitar bit and someone might do a vocal, and we're putting it all together in these songs. So.
Oh, wow. Will you send me, is there a link to the album that I can post?
I will. I'll even mail you the album itself. So.
Yeah. But I want to make sure that it gets logged in with this episode.
Great.
So we can.
And then I'm also had a show. I was invited just like a week ago to do a show at Brian Leo Projects.
Oh, wonderful. That's perfect.
And so I have a show up at Brian Leo right now as well as Wild Geese.
Yeah. Right now? Where? Yeah. Now, where is that?
On 21st Street.
And what?
Well, you'll have to DM him on Instagram, and he'll give you a private viewing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Brian Leo Projects.
Cool. I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see. This is so great.
Yeah. So great. I think what's happening now is the pandemic. For 2 years, everyone was like, it's canceled, it's postponed.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, we want it all, and we want it now.
I know. I'm exhausted. I had 4 projects this summer.
So good problem to have, right?
I'm grateful. Every time I wake up, I'm like, I'm so tired. And then I'm like, no, this is good. You're lucky. You'll sleep when you're dead.
It's like a flower that's blossoming.
I don't know. I feel like a flower that's kind of propped open right now. I really do. I did not sleep well last night. I was exhausted and I didn't sleep. I got wound up by showing my work. It wound me up, you know? It wound me up. I mean, you know what I mean, guys.
Yeah, totally. Lots of stimulation.
That boost.
I don't know. It's a lot of stimulation. So I'm really excited to. I'm going to try and make, who knows? But I just realized it goes till 10. So there's a chance I have to be at the art fair all day. But I get done at 8. So if I have any energy.
And we have some other events, too. We have Kiffy and Don's circuit, pipe cleaner circus. You can come by on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Around from what, 11 to 1?
I believe so, yes.
People can come and make, if it's a free open workshop, come and make circus animals.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And then I think we're going to do a little VIP dinner on Sunday night. But yeah, there's some other events, so we'll be open all weekend.
Oh, wow.
And Kiffy and I will be at the gallery all day tomorrow, too.
Oh,
so,
that's great.
But follow Kiffy the Pit on Instagram, and love to have a follow for Don Porcella on Instagram, too.
Yeah, and let's talk about the gallery again. It's Wild Geese Gallery.
Yeah, they have an Instagram as well, so get on there and get the address and all that.
And it's for the opening tonight. I really want to go. Like, you definitely whetted my appetite. Don't you think it'd be cool? Because this guy Kiffy is so happy, and it'll be amazing. You know,
he will boost your endorphins just meeting him.
You know what it is.
So if you're feeling like, a little down, come see Kiffy.
He's losing his gallery show virginity.
Yes, he is. He's yeah.
It's very exciting. Yes. Very, very exciting.
Woo.
So if you want to see that, you want to see a guy like going, oh, what happened? No. But you know what? That's the whole thing. The thing is, we're all afraid of disappointment. I focus on the disappointment. I'm not healthy.
I know. I do too.
Yeah. The W has already happened. The win has already happened. Okay. And at the end of the day, like, realistically, if nothing sells, that just means I get to take more stuff home. You know what I mean?
I love that.
Is my babies. When I say them, my kids. I worked on them, you know?
I'm
a proud father today.
Yeah.
I'm a proud father.
I gotta love it.
His cup is always full.
Always full.
The best attitude ever. I don't know. I think you should, you know what? You couldn't be a therapist because you're way too healthy. You're actually way too healthy to be an artist, frankly.
Well, I think these paintings are like, the embodiment of this positive energy. So if you're feeling a little down, come by and pick up a painting.
Heck yeah.
And, it's 473 Amsterdam Avenue between 82nd and 83rd Street. And it's from 7 to 10? 6 to
yes,
10?
Yes, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Yeah. And I also want to remind you guys to go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.org and check us out. Like I said, we do a lot of work for the community. We do a lot of... We really keep Brooklyn going. We have news, we have talk, we have comedy, and it's just a fabric. We are part of the fabric that we all need. Community is everything now, okay? So if you believe that, go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.org and check us out. You can also download our mobile apps for Android and iPhone, and you can listen to us 24/7 whenever you want. I'm Dr. Lisa. Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I'm here every Thursday, 2 to 3, at Dr. Dr. Lisa Levy, SP. And we have a minute and a half left, and Don, what?
I would just love to do a special shout-out to Liz Curtis, the gallery director and owner, because without her, she's driving this whole thing, and she's got such a big heart and incredibly generous, and she's developed this team around Kiffy and me and around the gallery, so I think you'll see a lot more from them.
Oh, that's exciting.
And they really boots on the ground, she's in there with us. Like, she
put together a dynamic team. It's funny, because she really worked hard on that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Definitely I'm glad that this
she
is my
comes
life.
Out of the theater. She's a choreographer, and she's best friends with Vanessa Williams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So I guess they did a movie together, and she's Vanessa Williams' personal choreographer.
Oh, wow. Well, that's probably how she understands collaboration.
Absolutely.
So well, because she's not from necessarily, she's from a collaborative background, and artists aren't necessarily have to be collaborative. You guys seem, you guys aren't really, let's say, technically collaborating, because your work isn't, you're having influence on each other, but you're not making anything together.
I think we might, though. I'm hoping we start something.
What is the subject matter? We have 30 seconds. We didn't really get to the subject matter too much of your work, William.
Mine? Subject matter, cartoon characters, video games, fun.
Contemporary
creation, acrylic.
Characters. A lot of characters.
But you're living, he's showing that what they're going through is kind of what we're going through.
Oh.
Yeah.
Story.
Yeah.
There's a story in there.
Oh, yeah.
A narrative.
I wish I could have told you